goodness of God. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, and who was, and is to come, the Almighty. Great and inspiring are your works, Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways.
There's going to be a program on Thursday that you get to see all the kids that have been here for the week. And if you want to get in on that, you are sure welcome to be a part of that at 12:15. Does that mean they get to eat?
No, we're not providing adults food.
Okay, you'll have to eat before you come. I just want you to know that. I just want you to know that the Binding the Branches, it's available in the back table. It's free. Just pick up one. It's just something that someone here in the church said they'd like to give as a gift to people who come to church. And it's put up by the Abiding Word Ministries. It's from Pastor David Barnhart, if you're familiar with him. Really good reading. In fact, just so they're free. Just pick one up. And they come out about every 2 months, something like that. And so I also want you to know that we do not pass the offering plate here because of COVID and kind of what has been taking place. And in the meantime, we've got an offering box in the back. And Bruce Osher made it. And I just want to thank Bruce for doing that. It's just beautiful. Of course, he wouldn't want his name to be mentioned, so I'll just retract that. Bruce did not make it. But yeah, he did make it, but you know, it's got a really good working with wood.
As long as you spilled the beans, the wood came from Pat's brother. Pat Gerald's is a brother. There's a Gerald's connection.
Is it from Bob?
No, from Gordon.
From Gordon. Yeah. Brother. Sorry to hear about your brother Bob, too, who passed away here.
Thank you.
It was just a little over a week ago?
About 9 days ago.
So I knew you weren't here one Sunday.
Yeah.
I figured you were with family, and then Dale, you're the bell ringer. No bell ringer. So we miss you guys. Glad you're back. So that's something that's coming up. The name of the day camp, the theme is Brand New Auto Shop. You see some of the decorations that have been in the fellowship hall, which reminds me that following worship service today, if you have nothing going on, you are welcome to have some coffee and some treats that are provided in the back, sit at a table, enjoy the fellowship, or stand and visit with somebody with a cup of coffee. That's for you back there. Look around. Some of the decorations that have been made have been just outstanding because of Mary Ann Seifer. Has really been a part of that. I mean, you have helped her with that, so we appreciate that. Just want to also mention here that day camp is going on all week till through Thursday, so there'll be no lunch with the bunch on Thursday from noon to 1. We will not meet this Thursday because of day camp. And per request, just no Elmer is here today. He's getting a port put in. He's been diagnosed with cancer, so keep him in your prayers, him and Norma, as they travel on and off in the weeks ahead, and talking with doctors and things like that as well. We will be doing that. And you see others in the bulletin as well. Jim Tackett is recovering from a total hip replacement. He's at home. He had it done on Friday, and they sent him home. Can you believe that? They don't want you in the hospital at all anymore. Just come. We'll take out pieces of you and say, hey, that will give you some new stuff that will last for quite a while. So keep Jim, Jody in your prayers as he's recovering from that. I'm talking to Charlie today, that's her son. He said he has no pain.
No pain, but he's not been able to walk on that right hip in a long, long time.
Yeah, so that's just tremendous. So you see other prayer requests that are in the bulletin there today. And just thank the Lord, too, just for the Bible conference, those that are speakers, those of you that were able to attend and to be a part of that. Some pretty special times with that. I'll probably share a little bit of that in the message today. Some of the things that I learned this past week because of the speakers as well. So be in prayer for the Bible camp staff that will be doing day camp this year. They come from Ingamokoboji Bible Camp. They're going to be doing it. We just have a lot of supervisors around here walking around and going like, I don't like how they do it. We won't do that, but here for a great week of helping people, helping those kids to see Jesus and the importance of having him as their Savior as well. So we are just very thankful. So with that, that's all I'm going to give today. Good to have those of you that are visiting with us today. A special welcome to you. Glad that you are here. And let us have a word of prayer together before I turn it back over to the praise band. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your presence here with us today. Lord, there are many, many blessings that you give to us, many of them, probably all of them, we don't deserve. But that's the kind of God that you are. You bless us even when we don't deserve it. And we are thankful today that we can come and to worship you. And worship you is that we see ourselves as sinners and we see you as an almighty, perfect, righteous God. And that we have the opportunity, the privilege of being able to just lift our hearts up to you, Lord, and to even confess our sins as we even sit in our pew. And just things can happen, Lord, that no one else knows that's taking place, but you do. And you're a God who loves to change people's lives. And that is really what we are about here as well, too. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are a new person. And life takes on a whole different outlook. So we are grateful for your presence here with us today. And may your Holy Spirit have his way as he works in our midst as we, by faith, come to you today. Thankful for all the boys and girls that will be coming this week, the day camp. And we just pray, Lord, that there will be good fruit that will come out of this week. And thank you for those that are pitching in and helping in any way. And those that can't be here, we thank you for the prayers that they'll be praying for the day camp and the kids as well. And so we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
You rule and reign. In our hearts again. You raise the bells we ring.
stood up a little too soon. I thought the song was going to be done. That's okay. You just kept going. That's the way you do it. It's my fault for standing up too soon. Responsive reading today comes to us from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Their faces are never covered with shame.
Their spirits are men called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Thank you.
ask of you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us in the Old Testament, probably in some of the shiny pages of the Bible. 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. 1 Kings, chapter 19, 1 through 8. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word today, and as we follow Elijah, we just pray, Lord, that you know what's best all the time. You know what's best for us today as well. As we listen to your word, may we hear it. Not just for head knowledge, Lord, but for the power to live for you. The desire of wanting to live for you each and every day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We typically do not associate Elijah in being afraid of anything. I mean, after all, he's a prophet of God. He is the mouthpiece of God. He walks with the Lord. He communicates with God. He is a person of faith. And we say it's someone that really walks close to God. Elijah has just seen and witnessed God at work in a marvelous way, a miraculous way, on Mount Carmel. I'm not talking about the Dairy Queen Sunday, Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is in Israel, and on the top of Mount Carmel today, you will find a huge monument of Elijah, put up there with a sword, reminding everyone who goes up there, even to this day, of what happened back in the day when Elijah came to Mount Carmel. And I just want to give you a little bit of an introduction. This is what happens previously at Mount Carmel that took place. It was 850 against one. Who was the one? Just Elijah. Who was the 850? Well, there was 450 prophets of King Ahab who were prophets of Baal. Baal is the god that was worshipped by King Ahab and his wife. The queen Jezebel, she had 400 prophets of her own of the Asherah, which is some other gods that she worshipped. And these 400 prophets that she had would eat with her, or she would serve them, provided a meal for them every day. So she was very close to these prophets of hers as well. Well, on Mount Carmel, there's a demonstration of God's existence and power to show the people of Israel that there are no other gods but Him. It reminds us of the first commandment, doesn't it? You shall have no other gods before me. Because there are no gods. God is the only true and living God. And so the people of Israel are kind of wondering, like, okay, now who are we going to follow here? We got all these prophets of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And so Elijah comes to the scene, and he gives a challenge of saying to the people of Israel, he says, who are you going to follow? Or maybe you'd like to say, like, when are you going to start following the only God, the true God that there is? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. So that's kind of the challenge. Follow the God of Elijah, or follow the God of Baal, the prophets of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. That's your choice. Well, Elijah does not stop there. But he knows that there are two opinions that are on the people's minds, and some are kind of wondering, okay, well, which side am I on? And so he gives this challenge to them. Who are you going to follow? And maybe you're here this morning too, and you've never been asked that question. Who are you going to follow? Or you'd say, well, Pastor, I've been going to church for a long time. Doesn't mean you're ready to meet God. You can say, like, well, when are you going to start obeying? When are you going to start following the Lord that you've been hearing about for these many years? Or maybe you haven't heard that long, that there is only one God. You know, whenever you come into this question of who you're going to follow, there's always opposition that is closely related to it. There's always been opposition to God, to his followers, and to his kingdom. We see it in the New Testament as well. There is always opposition to Jesus, to the church, and to the new faith of the Christian faith. There's opposition that they met. People did not want to believe that there's only one God. Just like today, there are people today that do not want to believe that there is a triune God. We say we believe in one God, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are people who just have a real problem with that. How can you say there's one God when you say there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Isn't that three gods? No. It's one God. Revealing himself in a different way to a different person of who he is. So it remains the same today all over the world that there is opposition, but take heart, my friends, that 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Talking about the devil is in the world. Greater is Jesus Christ who's promised to live in us and through his Holy Spirit. And he that is in the world. So there's always been a cost to following Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about that in your life or not. But there's a cost in being a Christian. Anytime you are one. We heard it at the Bible conference on, I think it was Wednesday night. There was a guy by the name of JP. I can't say his last name because he's from India. But he comes from a family. He came from a family that is the highest caste in India. You know, there's like a caste system. If you are in a very elite caste, that means you're very wealthy. And his family was very wealthy because there was a village named after his family that has been there for many, many years in India. Of course, now we think of a village, something like Fostoria. But in his country of India, it can be over 100,000 people is considered a village. And he wanted to go to college, which he did, and he went to a college in Russia and became active in the Communist Party. And they saw that he was someone that could be a real leader. And so they were kind of grooming him to be a leader in spreading communism abroad and whatever, he was invited to go to a Bible study by some of these oddball people in college. And he didn't really want to go to a Bible study, but he was caught in one of those dorm rooms, and he saw a Bible there, and he just picked it up and was looking at it, and when somebody went by and saw that he was looking at the Bible, stopped and said, "Hey, you got any questions about what you're reading? You see, you're reading a Bible." He took the Bible and he kind of threw it under the bed, and he goes, "I wasn't reading anything." And of course, he knew he was caught, so he ended up taking out the Bible again. And then this guy invited him to a Bible study, and he reluctantly went, and when he got to the Bible study, he goes, "Yep, the speaker wasn't really anybody to listen to. There was no singing. There's nobody with guitars playing beautiful songs or anything like that. They had some prayer type of a thing, but he got about halfway through and left that Bible study." A little later on, those in the Bible study group said, "You know, we saw this guy leave middle through." They said, "You know, let's pray for him for 10 days, and then somebody should go and invite him to come to another Bible study." Now, I don't know who the person was that picked the short straw to go and invite him back, but there was somebody who did that. And he found out that it was like, why would anybody come and invite me back to a Bible study that he didn't like to begin with? But he went back reluctantly, because the guy said, "You know, come back one more time, and after that, if you don't like it, we will never bother you again. We will not invite you back." And those are some of the things that I've had to say over the years with people, too, coming to a home Bible study. "Just come one time. If you don't like it, I'll never ask you to come again." And I'm trying to think here. I think for the most part, everybody came back. So this guy eventually becomes a Christian, and he writes back home to tell his dad that he became a Christian. His dad's going like, "Oh no! Of all the things I sent you to Russia to get an education." And so his dad said, "You come back home," because he thought that if you get him away from his friends, that he will get away from Christianity and get away from those influences that are around him. Because he's thinking like, his son just got brainwashed. He goes back to India. And he tells his dad that he's become a Christian. And that meant in India that if you become a Christian, you're considered basically a dead person in that family. And you're asked to leave. And you don't get invited to any of the family get-togethers. You're done. And so he became an evangelist. He just went out telling people about Jesus, even though he didn't have a home to go back to, and his dad got down on his case for becoming a Christian. And he says, "You know what you're doing to the family by becoming a Christian?" And he began to tell him, "You know, that this brings dishonor to us. This is not something that is a good thing for our family." And JP wasn't deterred from following Jesus because he was looking for a peace in his life. Even when he was in college, he wanted a peace that wasn't there. And there was something that God brought a peace to his life when he was in Russia. And he told his dad, "There's a peace that I have. I've never had before, but I've been looking for it, and I found it in Jesus Christ. And I'm his follower." Well, one day his dad, you know, in India, you get to choose. If you're a parent, you get to choose who your son is going to marry. And so his dad came to him and said, "You know, your mother and I get to choose the woman that you are to marry." And he said, "Well, Dad, I hope you pick a Christian girl." His dad was saying, like, ain't going to happen. And so his dad and mother found a woman who was willing to marry. And she said to the dad, to his dad, "Give me 2 months and he will not be a Christian anymore." Kind of gives you, you know, how did that marriage work? You know? But he treated her like he knew that the Lord would want to treat her. Make a long story short, he liked languages, so he would translate his language from India into the New Testament, to the Bible. And they didn't have much money at all, never had much money. His wife came from a very wealthy family, and she all of a sudden said, you know, we got to have more money, honey. And I don't know where we're going to get it. And he goes like, well, I'm just happy doing what I'm doing and can't do much about that. Well, then the organization that he is working with said, we need someone to write out the New Testament in nice handwriting. And so they went out and they said, write out something and we will pick out whoever writes kind of the nicest for what we want to do. And guess who they picked? His wife. She got to write out three times the scriptures. And it is through that that she got paid more than he did. So that helped her. She's making more money than he is. And as she's writing out in the language the New Testament, she gets saved. I don't know how his dad felt then. How about that? Kind of go, that's not going according to plan. But there's an opposition there. He did show a picture at the very end of his testimony that his grandpa came back to his dad's house to be cared for in his old age. So think of this. Out of all the people, all the relatives, all the family members, his dad chose him to take care of in his old age. And it's just a remarkable story. But he had lots of opposition. My friends, even though we live in Iowa or some other state where you were born and grew up in, you know what it was like to have opposition. And maybe you're still going through it. And maybe there's more to come in the day in which we live in as well. Who are you going to serve? The God that you gave your heart to? You sent us His Son, Jesus Christ? Or are you going to try to do it your own way? Well, Elijah, he sets the ground rules for the people here who are challenged with who are they going to serve? Who are they going to follow? And so Elijah says this. Here's the ground rules. We're going to get two bulls. Both of them will be sacrificed. The 450 prophets of Baal, you get to choose your bull of the two that are chosen. You get to cut up that bull in the pieces according to your ritual, whatever you use, and you get the wood that goes on the altar to burn up your sacrifice bull to the God that you are serving. But what you do is you do not set that wood on fire. Kill the bull, cut up the pieces, do what you got to do, but you do not put fire to that wood. And then you call upon your God during that time. And then Elijah said that he was going to do the same thing. And the winner of this challenge is this, that whoever's God brings down fire, lights the sacrifice, the wood on fire, that is the real God. And so everybody nodded, saying, well, it sounds like a good idea. We'll just kind of sit around and wait to see what happens here. It was a good idea. And so Elijah had the prophets of Baal go first. Really nice of him to do that. You guys go first. Of course, he knew what? He knew there was no other gods. He knew there was 450 prophets, or if there was 850 prophets. If there was 1,018 prophets, it didn't matter. And so the prophets of Baal, they did what Moses, what they did what Elijah had said, and then they called upon their God from the morning to the evening. And they shouted, and they danced around the altar, and they cut themselves, and they shouted louder, and nothing happened, and there was no fire. During that time, Elijah would throw out a few little things in there, like saying, like, what, is your God sleeping? You have to yell loud to kind of wake him up to get his attention? Or maybe he's too busy for you guys, that he's not going to do anything for you, he's not going to answer you. And that's why they yelled all the louder, and they started cutting themselves. So you can kind of get the scene there. It had to be organized chaos and noisy. What was going on? So Elijah finally said, okay, you guys have had your chance, now let me have mine. The altar of the Lord had been in disrepair. And so the very first thing that Elijah does is that he takes 12 stones. Why 12 stones? 12 tribes of Israel. 12 stones, and he makes the altar. He makes the altar and puts the wood on the altar. He butchers the bull, puts the pieces of meat on top of the wood, and then he says to some people, get some water. Get some big jars, some huge jars of water, and then pour it over the meat, the wood, the altar, and you dug a trench around that altar. And he said, now don't do it once, but do it again. You had him do it three times. And on the third time, of course, that trench filled up with water. So it goes to show you that it was very saturated. We're not that way in Iowa today, are we? It'd be nice to get some water. The water had filled the trenches, and then Elijah stepped forward. And it says that he prayed. He prayed. And after he had prayed, it said that fire came and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and water in the trench. And it took everything. And Ahab did not repent. If he was there to see this, or if he heard about it, then he was there. So he saw it. And he goes back to Jezebel, his wife, and tells her what Elijah had done. Now that's kind of a long introduction as far as to our text. So that's what happens before, as we come. Well, I just read what we read together here in Kings chapter 19. But what we find here is that when Elijah finds out what Jezebel says, basically saying, within 24 hours, Elijah, you are going to end up dead, just like you did to my prophets. Elijah gives way to fear. And you have to ask yourself, how in the world, after seeing and being on top of Mount Carmel, seeing what God had just done, how could he be so fearful? Why would he just say, like, bring it on! Bring it on! We'll settle this once and for all. But it says he gave in to fear. It also says earlier in the text that after this whole thing was had taken place on Mount Carmel, is that Elijah ran to the place where Ahab lived, and he beat him there. I don't know how fast the guy ran. But Ahab had horses and a chariot, and Elijah beat him there. But he runs for his life. So he's already run from Mount Carmel to the place where Ahab and Jezebel lived. And when he hears that Jezebel put a threat on his life, he then runs from there to Beersheba. And he has a friend with him. He leaves his friend there in Beersheba, and then he takes one day's journey, goes out into the desert all by himself. And that's where he lays down under a broom tree. Only place of shelter or from the sun rays that there is. And he gives way then to despair or depression. How can this be? This prophet of God giving way to fear and then kind of going into depression because he prays this. He prays to the Lord, I want to die. I've had enough. And maybe you have been there yourself at one time. I've had enough and I can't take this anymore. I'd rather just die than to do this. If you've ever had to deal with depression, it's a dark, dark hole. Dark hole. And you don't know how you will ever get out of it. Now, there's some who say, well, a Christian should never be depressed. I take issue with that. Christians, too, go through depression. And sometimes you need a little help with that. It's okay to go to a doctor. It's okay to get a little help when you start going into that hole because that hole is deep and it keeps sucking you down, down, down. And it gets darker, darker. It gets to the point where Elijah has seen himself so much as a failure that he just wants to quit. His expectations of himself, they weren't fulfilled. He thought for sure that after this big event on Mount Carmel, that for sure Ahab and Jezebel would have to have a change of heart. And it didn't happen. Instead, she threatens him to die. And he runs. Now, running would take a lot out of you. And so he lays down and sleeps. And that's kind of some of the signs of depression, is that you want to sleep. And you hope you don't wake up. Just let me sleep. Don't call me. Don't bother me. Just let me sleep. And I hope I don't wake up. I just want to be away from everybody. And so Elijah does that. And it's here where we see that the Lord is there and understands what he's going through because he sends an angel. And the angel intervenes in Elijah's life at this particular time. And he touches him and he tells him to get up and eat. And he kind of gets up. He sees that there is a fresh loaf of bread and there is a jar of water. Now you think, well, why didn't you say, like, well, where did this come from? This is better than room service here. And he eats it, drinks. What does he do? He lays back down and goes to sleep. The angel comes to him a second time and tells him to get up and eat and drink. And he says that the journey is too much for you. And Elijah's mind is like, I'm done. I'm at the end of my journey right now. I'm not going anywhere. But the angel says, the journey is too much for you. And there's probably times when you have felt that way or said those things too. You go like, no, I ain't going anywhere. I'm just going to stay put right here. And God's got other ideas and other ways to get you to go in a place where he wants you to go. Elijah got up a second time, he ate and he drank, and to realize that all these things were provided for him by the Lord. He did not do anything himself here other than to get up and listen and to eat and to drink. God was there and provided for him. And it renewed his strength. It says that he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, which is Horeb. I don't know how far away that this mountain is from where he's at. But maybe he walked slow and thought a lot about what was going on before he reached the mountain of God. So here's the conclusion of the message today. Is that God comes to us in our greatest time of weakness. God restores and strengthens us. Even when we get to the point we say, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm done. I have a friend by the name of Dwayne Anderson who's got ALS. Amazing guy. He said he's never ever asked why. Him. ALS is a terrible disease. There's no cure. But he never says, he never asks the question, why me, God? And I was just blown away when I heard him say that. But they're like, well, you're a better man than I. You're a better man than I. I'd probably be asking that question a lot. But he has a faith in the Lord that he says, I don't know how people can go through this without a faith in Jesus Christ. And I go, I don't know either. But there are people who do. With Elijah, God restores him and strengthens him with the food he eats, the water he drinks, and God prepares us for usefulness and more victories ahead, as he did that for Elijah. Oftentimes he'll do that for you and I too. Even with Dwayne, I said, God is using you even if you don't think he is or not. Because he's such a blessing to me. I get more out of going to see him than I think I give him. And so my hat goes off to him. I thank the Lord for bringing him and Vicki, his wife, to Harbor of Joy, and her daughter Sydney as well. We find here that God took Elijah from fear and depression and even suicidal thoughts and provided him with what he needed to regain his strength, to accomplish what he could never have done on his own strength. But he did this one step at a time. To get to the mountain of God, just one step at a time, he got closer. We often say one day at a time, believing and trusting that God will provide the strength that you will need today. In the days ahead, but just take one day at a time. Because there's one God who tells us in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Those are good words. Some more good words we find in scripture is 1 Peter 5:7, where it says, cast all your anxiety or all your fears or all your worries on him because he cares for you. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says this, come unto me. All you who are weary, all you who have come to the end of your rope, all of you who want to quit, all of you who said that I've had enough, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Our journey, you never know where that's going to lead us. But we have a God that we can trust in at any time, all the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there may be someone here today that feels just like Elijah, just plain tired out, running here and running there, and probably not getting anywhere, but just plain tired out. You understand this. You understand as well as if there's a person that's here today that just says, you know, I just can't go on like this anymore. I want to die. I have heard this personally from a little old lady who was 102. When I would ask if I could pray for her, she would say yes and pray that I would die. She just turned 105. And she just says, I'm no good. I can't do anything for myself. I can't hear. I can't see. I just lay here. And I don't understand it either. And I did ask the Lord that you would just honor her wishes. That you would take her home to be with you because she loves you and she's ready to go there. But for some reason, your answer to her prayers is not yet. I'm still with you as always, but your time has not come for you to be with me. And so, Lord, there's a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different things going on in people's lives, a lot of different journeys that we find ourselves in. And it keeps changing the older we get. So Lord, today, may we take heart in knowing that you know everything about us and that you will provide what you provide in the way that you will provide and whatever that is in the time that we need it the most. Help us to keep our faith in you. May there be no second opinion. But may we always say that I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In him I trust. Regardless of circumstances and situations. Lord, you've always been faithful. You always will be because that's who you are. May we trust in you always. And every day we pray in Jesus' name. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we confess the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated.